Today we're going to talk about faith. Is that all right?
Amen.
We're going to talk about faith and attitude. You could say we're going to talk about your faith attitude. If you want to call it your attitude of faith, you can do that too. But we're going to talk about faith and attitude. All right? So let's go right to the Word and open your Bibles up to the book of Hebrews, chapter what? What chapter is it? That great faith chapter. Chapter 11. Hebrews 11. Now, we've been here before. About maybe almost exactly a year ago, I preached a message. What's that message called? Faith is a bridge. Because faith is indeed that bridge that we walk on that allows us not to sink into the water while we look out at the Lord Jesus as he calls us to our destiny, our place of promise, our purpose. We are able to walk over the waters of life because we have a bridge. That bridge is faith. And so we don't sink because of that bridge, that foundation, and we have the sides of the bridge to hold on to when the winds blow. As we keep our eyes on who? Jesus. That's right. So let's take a look at that same familiar passage. Today we're talking about faith and attitude. And if you have your Bibles open, feel free, particularly if it's anything like the King James, to read with me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let's do that again together. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is indeed a bridge. We learned that a year ago. When you need to walk across the water to Jesus, to your purpose. Now, let's break this down a little bit. Faith is the substance. A year ago, we let you know that that word that's translated substance means a platform that you can walk on, a solid foundation that you can either put something on or to walk on. And so faith is that thing that you can stand on when it doesn't make any sense that you should be able to stand. Some people would translate it or think of it as the substance, the thing in your hand that you can tangibly touch. That's all right, too. I just prefer to break it down the way it's really said in the original language. But it's all right. Either way, you've got to stand on faith and believe that you have in your hand what God promised. If you just make it up in your mind and you're standing on something you promised and that doesn't have a foundation under it. So faith is that substance of things hoped for. And then we talk about the fact that it is the evidence when there is none to be seen. So if we're talking about a faith walk, we're not talking about a walk where you see it already, where it's already right there in front of you. It has to be something that you have to depend on God for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is that substance when there is no evidence for you to see. If you read through the Bible, the one your senses lie to you, the one sense that is most emphasized is your vision. When Jesus said, pluck something, I said, pluck your eye out, because that's what will lie to you the most. Amen. It will lie to you the most. Even in the Garden of Eden, as Eve was rationalizing, what did she say? She saw the tree that it was beautiful to look at, good for food, just like the rest of the trees. It looks just like the rest of them. God surely didn't mean for me not to eat of it. And Satan had convinced her that God was a little g God, that he had a complex, that he was a control freak. He didn't want her to have her own ability to think for herself. Convinced her that the grass was brown and therefore it was greener on the other side. So faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence where there is none to be seen. So faith is a bridge for you to walk on as you walk out to the place towards your destiny that God has called you to. So where there is faith, there's no room for fear. There's no room for doubt. Why would you doubt? If I'm walking across this floor, I don't have any doubt as I walk toward Deacon Sherman. I don't have any doubt because I have a solid foundation under me to walk on. So we talked about this bridge, and I talked to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I'm thinking as I'm teaching this and preaching this about my situation. I said, Lord, you told me, or I told you, Lord, that I'll walk out on that water anytime you want me to. I'll quit this fantastic job, and I will fish for men full time if you tell me to. He knows I'll do it. So he didn't give me that challenge. He said, no, for you, son, I don't need you to walk out on the water. I know you could and would do that. You have that level of faith. I have a tougher job for you. For you, it's tougher. For you, I want you to stay in that little boat. And it will be a little boat to start with. And I want you to row in the direction I tell you to, no matter what the current and the waves look like. I want you to row. There's no motor in this boat. I've got to row this boat. And there will be a few to row with you. Some will row harder than others. Some will row more often than others. Some will tend to your needs and be concerned because you will never stop. You won't be able to take breaks on rowing. Some will tend to you and be concerned about your welfare because you are continuously rowing. Some will be along for the ride because, hey, if nothing else, it's going to the right place. And there will be times that you will have to row continuously and fervently with one hand because you're using the other ones to tend to those in your boat. But that's your job. That's what I'm calling you to. I know you'd walk on the water. I got a tougher job. For you, it's tougher. Yes, there will be a few in the boat, and they will row with you in the right direction. And that will be your encouragement. And you'll be so busy rowing, you won't have time to stop and fish. I'm going to take care of the fish. I've got the net. I will take care of the fish because you don't have time. This is what I'm calling you to. This is not a trail that many have blazed. There is no map for where I'm taking you. I told you to row in the direction I tell you to. That's where your treasure will lie. You will not know. You know the end result. I've given you a vision. You will have landmarks. You will have a nursing home ministry that's second to none. You will have a scholarship program just like I showed you. But you got to row in between. And you just got to trust me. And you got to believe God for those that are helping you to row. You've got to thank God for the few that help you to row, that commit themselves to those projects, that love on you and pray for you and help you in your work. I've shown you the vision. Keep rowing toward that vision. Let me worry about the rest. So that's my challenge. Faith is a bridge. In my case, my faith doesn't require, in a practical way, a bridge. By faith, I have to stay in the boat and row. So faith is a bridge, but ultimately the faith is the thing that allows you to do and to be whatever God expects you to be. It was a nice illustration a year ago to say that faith is a bridge, but faith is whatever you need. Faith is the thing that allows you to be all that you can be and to be all that God expects you and wants you and called you and created you to be. Something else. You cannot, nor will you, become what God called you and created you to be without faith. If you're doing something right now that you can do all on your own without God, you are not there yet. You're not there yet. You're not there yet. So I want to remind you that God has something special for all of us to do. And you're going to do it with him right by your side. You know why? Because you won't be able to do it without him. Okay? So it's not just a matter of legalese and requirements. I've got to have the Lord. Guess what? In order for you to do what you were called and created to do, you can't do it without God. God said, no, I don't want you to step down off of your job. Not only that, I don't even want you to step down from your position that requires so many hours. You're going to have a miracle every day, every week. You're going to have a miracle. And it's true. Every week I experience a miracle when God somehow allows me to perform on my job with very high expectations and be ready to rock and roll in Bible study and have the energy to work with the folks there, the residents, and be able to come here and do what God wants me to do on Sundays and spend time with my family and loved ones and minister, whether it be in person or on the phone. That's, people, a miracle. That's a miracle. That's special. That's God. That's not me. That's not us. That's God. While we bless young and older folks in terms of their education, showing them that God loves them, God is doing a whole lot with this little boat. It's a blessing. It's a miracle. It's a wonder. Now, there's a few other things I could say, but what I want, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Because even though I covered it, we didn't totally cover it. We're going to go back. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. There is an element of this verse that is often overlooked. When we think of this verse, we're usually thinking of something that we want. And there is one word here that tends to downplay what God is trying to say in this verse, what the writer is trying to say. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Let's break it down. First of all, this word faith in the Greek is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And as you would imagine, it means belief, conviction, being convinced, persuaded that something is true, or that something is going to happen, or that something is happening. So that's faith. You understand that. You're aware of that. You are used to that. Well, if faith is the substance, then hope is the attitude. Hope is the attitude. So we're going to learn about this hope situation. Amen. Hope is the attitude. I'm going to do my best to show you a little illustration. I want to pull something out of you this morning. So I have this cup of water. I'm tend to get thirsty. And I just want you to look at it and you tell, don't tell me. Well, no, maybe you should. Is it half empty or is it half full? Okay, now somebody is being technical and they're saying, well, maybe it's a millimeter too low to be half full, or it's a millimeter too high. They're getting caught up. But is it half full or is it half empty? We all know some half empty people in our lives. Amen. Now, here is the thing that I want to show you. Your faith attitude is based on what you think, or consistent with what you think about this glass. Now, through the marvels of modern technology, I can walk around and you can watch me. Amen? All right. Now, I'm going to Now, is this half full or half empty now? You can't tell? Is it half full or is it half empty? Amen. Amen. All right. Okay. How about now? Half full or half empty? Amen. All right. You got the message, Brother Melvin. Here's the point. When you can see with your eyes the directionality of the flow, if you can see it go from full downward, you believe it's half empty. Whereas if you see it go from empty to the same place, you see it as half full. Faith doesn't afford you the opportunity to see the flow. Faith attitude is going to determine what you believe about a static situation where God doesn't give you the opportunity to see what's happening spiritually in the background. So your faith attitude is at the core of who you are. Your faith attitude determines how powerful faith will be in your life. Your faith attitude determines who and how much you can impact others. Your faith attitude. You need to make a little distance between you and the half empty folk. But even worse, stay far away from the totally empty folk. God can bless them wondrously and they still complain. He could be in the midst of blessings and they still complain. If you had a bill or a situation where you needed $2,000, and I dropped $1,000 in your bank account, is that a blessing or is it a curse because it's not $2,000? If you had $2,000 and because you had a need to take care of, it was drawn down to $1,000, would you dare curse the $1,000 because you no longer have as much, and would you think of it as if it's nothing? Some do. Some do. You need to hang out with somebody who has nothing. That's what you need to do. You need to grow up in South Central LA or in the barrio so you can see what it's like to have nothing and never know you're poor. Talk to a young person or a grown person who grew up poor. Most of the time, if their parents provided them with the right attitude, with the right environment, they never really thought about the fact that they were poor. So is it a blessing or is it a curse to be brought up affluent? Well-to-do, taken care of. Is it a blessing? Does it make you more likely to receive God's blessings for what they are? The more you get used to receiving from another source or giving another source credit, the harder it is to give God credit. We're talking about our faith attitude, our perspective, our approach. And we're talking about how we see the world, how we see our life, how we see our calling when we see not the evidence. While God is working on some things in the background, what do you say in the meantime? Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. While you use the breath God gave you to say it. While you drove in the car that God paid for the gas for to get there to the place where you said it. While you're going off the fuel for the food that he gave you. While he gave you the person that cared enough to say, how you doing? The things that we take for granted, the things that we choose because of our faith attitude to see as not enough. For somebody else, it's more than enough. Reverend Paul over at the nursing home is excited about the fact that $35 he gets a month. He doesn't think it's a lot, by the way, but it's enough for him to tithe. You know, he started tithing because of one of the Bible study lessons. Come on now. Now, which of you grown folks have at least $35 left over at the end of the month? How many of you much more? We talk about the widow's mite. Paul's $3.50 today is a whole lot like the widow's mite. Amen?
Amen.
So we're talking about faith and attitude. So now we've got to transition to really pull this thing out. We've got to transition over actually to the book of Romans. But before we go there, I'm going to finish Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We're talking about this thing, hope. And I told you that oftentimes one word can make all the difference. Hope in the Greek is elpizo. And in the Roman Latin type languages in Greek, the Z sounds like a TS or a TZ. So it's E-L-P-I-Z-O. Look it up. Elpizo. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Elpizo. And here, the word hope, even though that is the translation, it doesn't do it justice. That word is more accurately translated expect. Hope in the English language allows for a certain measure of doubt. I hope it'll be all right. That's not the proper translation. The word is expect. Totally different. Immediately a different attitude, a different perspective, a different belief level. So now hope is, faith is the substance of things expected when there is no evidence to be seen. Ah, now it sounds very different, doesn't it? Faith. I expect to get to Sherman or Jesus or my destiny or my purpose because of the faith that I'm walking on. I expect to get where I'm trying to roll to, that God has told me to go to. Why? Because of the God that called me to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We're talking about expectation. Is that right? So let's go on over to Romans. I'll break this thing on down. That's right. There will be a post test. And we'll see how you do. All right. I have two glasses of water here. I don't have to drink both of them. So I can have one to find out how you see that glass when we're done. So Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verses, just two verses, 24 and 25, where we find, if you look at Romans chapter 8, the whole chapter really, you will find no bad news. It's all good news. Paul is, in rather complicated language, breaking down the fact that we, through salvation, through having the Lord in our lives, we will be freed from all of the curses and bondage of our former selves and in this fleshly body. And the fact that those who have truly God in their lives, deep down inside, they are groaning with the rest of creation, hoping and in anticipation of being freed from the curse of sin and death. And so we get to verse 24 with that in mind. We're in 23, he says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And he says in verse 24, for we are saved by hope. We're used to seeing the word faith there, right? Or we'll often say saved by grace through faith, right? We know that faith is what? Pistis. This word is not pistis. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why would he then hope for it? If you can see it, if you can touch it, if you can taste it, you don't need to hope for it. There's no need for expectation because you have it already. Now, of course, your vision will betray you every time. And so there are times when that car that you want, that house that you want, that guy that you want, that job, it's right there. You can see it. And so then you're tormented by the I gotta have it's. Okay? So in that case, seeing it isn't a blessing. It's a problem. Okay? It's a curse. But the point that's being made here is that we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For if a man sees something, then why would he hope for it? And then verse 25. But if we hope for that that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now, you know, we're going to break this down. And in doing so, we're going to learn what we need to learn this morning about faith attitude. All right. So now let's break it down. Let's take a look at verse 25, because that's where the key is. Again, 24 is, you know what? We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not really hope. Because if you see it already, then you don't need any hope. You don't need any faith. But verse 25. But if we hope for that, that means if we expect, right, for that we do not see, then with patience, we wait for it. Now, let's talk about that word, patience. Patience usually implies a bit of discomfort. It's not fun being patient, patiently waiting for something, is it? That's not fun. You'd rather have it, right? You'd rather have it in your hand. But I want those of you who are writing notes to write these things down. This is hupomone. Now, that's a crazy sounding word. H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E, with the accent being on the last syllable. Hupomone. Now, this is the word that's translated patience. This is a linguistic issue. Patience means a certain something to us, okay? But what this word, hupomone, means is a cheerful endurance, persistence, and constancy. I said a cheerful endurance, persistence, and constancy. So now, this patience that we're talking about, this patience that you have when you're living in expectation, not just kind of doubtful hope, expectation. Hupomone, cheerful endurance, persistence, and constancy. If somebody is patiently waiting on what God promised them, what should we see? Cheerful attitude, positive, upbeat. I know it's coming. I know it's coming. When you say you're going to get paid next Friday, do you say it with doubt? No. I'm getting paid next Friday, and it's an extra check. We're getting three this month. Yeah. There's no doubt in that. Cheerful endurance. Yeah, there may be tough times, but you don't see me up or down just based on what the situation is today or this week. Cheerful endurance, handling the challenges. and persistence, not just endurance, continually rowing that boat. If I'm just here, I'm not being patient. Not in this way. I ought to be persisting in my rowing. It's not about just sitting there waiting for God to do everything. I need to be doing my part. That's patience. Okay? Hupomone. So cheerful endurance, persistence, and just as important, maybe more important, constancy. Now, not consistency. It's a different word. That is sort of wrapped up in the persistence. Constancy is the unwavering, consistent. You're unwavering as in purpose. You will be found being the kind of person, the kind of attitude, the kind of approach, the kind of commitment, the kind of work ethic that you were the last time they saw you. You are not guided by, you are not, your path isn't determined based on how many people say amen. It's determined by the purpose for which you are rowing. So patience, hupomone, cheerful endurance, persistence, and constancy, unwavering as in purpose. You are not changing just because you're small. No, you go ahead and do your scholarship program and bless folks from the bigger churches. How about that? How about young people coming to this little church to get money to go to school that they don't get from the big church? So what is our purpose? To always be doing more proportionately than we should be doing for our size. Unwavering as in purpose. Not next year, this year. We're not going to put it off this year. We're not going to wait till we get big. This year, unwavering. As in purpose. So, hope that we see, excuse me, but if we hope for that we do not see, then do we with patience wait for it? So, yeah, we need to finish breaking that down. Wait for it. Now, I just told you that this expectancy is not just a static, I'm just going to sit here and wait for God. So we're talking about a different kind of patience here. The word that is translated into three English words, wait for it, is even harder to say than the hupomone. It is apek dekomai. A-P-E-K D-E-C-H O-M-A-I, for those of you who are going to write it down, and feel free to look it up. This is important. Apekdekomai is not just waiting. It's not simply sitting there like a lump on a log waiting. This word that is translated, wait for it, means an eager expectation. And an expectation that is full, to expect fully to achieve, to accomplish, to receive what it is that you're having faith for. Eager anticipation. Understand the attitude in that. Eagerly anticipated. Eager. The picture that comes into my mind here is the tooth fairy in Santa Claus. Eager anticipation. You think it's easy for a child who's waiting for the tooth fairy to go to sleep, to do as you've told them to do, to stay in their little boat? No, it's not. But picture it. The eager anticipation. You turn a negative loss of a tooth into a positive. The cup is half empty. If you don't have the tooth fairy coming, it's half full, at least when the tooth fairy's coming. Now, we know that neither of those things are real. But what is real is the positive viewpoint and expectation that you instill in the child by telling them, now they're trusted in you. They don't know God yet. You told them that the tooth fairy takes care of those who put their tooth under the pillow. You are at that point in the place of God, and you tell them to do something that if they do it, they will be blessed. It's not about the tooth fairy nor about Santa Claus. It is about your attitude. It is about your perspective. And it is about what you're willing to do and endure when you have that right perspective. You may think a lot of things are difficult for you. Most of those things are not as hard as it is for a child to go to sleep on those nights. Amen? So we're talking about patience, hupomone, cheerful endurance, persistence and constancy, unwavering as in purpose, waiting like a child waiting for the tooth fairy or Santa Claus, apekdekomai, eager anticipation, expecting fully, living in expectation. That's different. I've lived in the last year and a half in full expectation that we have one of the best nursing home program around, where people will look forward to us coming. They will trust our integrity and the sincerity of our love, so much so that they will feel a part of us and want to be here if they could. And giving is just icing on the cake. Full expectation. Believe me when I tell you, even when it's not there to be seen, it is expected. So you should see me acting like I expected. Not up one day and down the next. Not preaching hard when it seems like things are going well. Expectation. When God gives you a vision, and without it, the people perish. You need to live in expectation. When God tells you he's going to do something for you, you need to know that you know that you know. There is no doubt. This is not hope. This is knowing, expecting, eagerly expecting, and expecting it fully. So we wait eagerly for whatever it is God has told us that we're going to have, and what he's told us to do. Now, as I row this boat and as you walk on your bridge, we have signposts along the way that are there to encourage us. But ultimately, we should be eagerly anticipating our full manifestation of what God called us to be. That's what I'm eager about. I'm eager about God saying, along the way, that's my boy. I knew he would do that even when it wasn't popular. I knew he would do that even though it was tough. That's what fuels me. And one day he'll say, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. In addition to what feels good, and most of us here have this makeup about helping somebody else. God is putting people into this ministry that have a heart to want to help somebody else. If you want a church to tell you it's all about you, you need to go somewhere else. It's not all about you. For God, it's about you. But then it's about you on behalf of God helping somebody else. That's why he gave you your gifts, not just for you to put them in a closet, for you to hang up, for you to look at anytime you want. He gave you your gifts to bless someone else. Brother Christian, how strong are your hands? They're pretty strong. Amen. So you can bless somebody with those hands. Isn't that right? When it comes to, you know, helping people in therapy, you've got to have strong hands. Amen. So we're waiting with eager anticipation. And so that's going to determine our attitude. If we can live in eager anticipation of what God is going to do for us, then we can act in a way that not only demonstrates our faith, but it infuses faith in others. They see that you don't have to have it fully manifested. You don't have to have everything that God said you were supposed to have yet for you to act. All that Peter asked Jesus, he says, Lord, if you'll just beckon for me, if you'll just call me out there, that's all I need. I just need for you to tell me to come, and I know I'm good. It can't just be my idea because I'm the best guy in the boat. I've got the most faith in the boat because he said, on this rock, I'll build my church. So I'm big, bad Peter. No, no, no. If you call me though, Lord, if your purpose is for me to come to you, then I don't have to worry about the water in between. Faith is a bridge that way. But if you challenge me and tell me, no, I'm not asking you to walk on water. That's you made for that. You got that. No, no, no. You stay in the boat. No, you work those 60 hours. And you do this. And you do it the way I told you to do it, which means it's going to be a small boat. But there are things that I could not see while we were holding on to faith in expectation. And so one glorious day, this tall, handsome brown brother walks in and he said, I got a card in the mail. I looked at it for a while, put it away, but I knew I'd been praying. I knew I need to go check that out. He had a vision. He thought he'd see more people when he got here. Because there's something inside of him. He can see a portion of the vision, not ever having been there when it was hatched. That's God. That's God. This is what's happening in the background. I've never been to his house. I wasn't there to see what his reaction was to the card, the mailer. But these are the things happening in the background. While, if we have to, we preach to the walls, while we praise God and sing awesome, this is living in expectation. This is eagerly expecting that God's word is going to come to pass, that God's vision that he gave us is going to come to pass. And each and every one of you have something that God created you to be and to do. And you should be connecting with God, coming to understand what that is, and your life should be lived in eager expectation of that. There'll be things that happen along the way. He's going to take care of you. He's going to give you houses and cars, and you'll get sick sometimes. He's going to heal you. You'll be tired. He'll give you energy. You'll be disappointed. He'll encourage you. You'll be lonely. He'll give you a friend. God's going to take care of all that stuff. All those waves, that's nothing when you got a bridge. That's nothing when you can row. As long as he gives me the energy to row, I'm going to keep rowing. Even if I row till 6 o'clock in the morning to deliver a message. He's going to give me just enough energy and time to keep on keeping on. If I curse that and call it not enough, if I say that glass is empty or half empty, that's my problem. That's not God's problem. So what are you walking toward, each and every one of you? Or what are you rowing toward as you go through and across your waters in your life? Amen? That's the question for you to ask and answer. So what is your faith attitude? Are you a glass half empty person? I hear full. Amen. Are you a glass half full person? Well, I want you to at least be a glass half full person, but what I'm really calling you to is for you to see the glass as full. Full. A full glass is your destiny. A full glass is your purpose. God didn't make you. He didn't take his energy to think about you and to care about thoughtfully crafting exactly who you are for you to be half full. But you pass half full on your way to full, don't you? Just don't curse half full on your way to full and call it half empty. So maybe you have a vision. I expect that everybody here has something that God has put into you, that he's shown you that you can and should do, that he has made you so ever so particularly. I wish, I say that a lot, but I wish you could hear me. I hope you hear me. God made you intentionally. Intentionally. Talking about purpose. Talking about faith and attitude. And my hope and my expectation is after this, we'll all have that cheerful readiness, that cheerful expectation. Looking forward, can't wait to continue to roll for God. Can't wait, because we're getting closer and closer to what God called us to. And hopefully with all the other things we want, with all the other things we like to have, hopefully what's really fueling us is our God saying, well done. Well done, well done, my good and faithful servant.